Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Hey, good morning. You guys awake? All right, I'm awake. I'm ready to go. My name is Matt Kladnick, and I'm back. Yeah, I haven't. It's been nice. I've been taking a little bit of time to be dad and to help out with the baby at the house, and I'm excited to preach today, and I've been thinking about the sermon for a long time. Can I pray as we get started? It always works better that way. God, we just want to pause in all the busyness of today and just give you the attention that you really do deserve. And God, we know that your word has authority, and it's endued with power, and it's power to transform. And so, God, we come to you in our brokenness, in our depression, and in our pain. And God, we just say, have your way. You know, just have your way. We've tried to fix ourselves. We tried to make sense out of life without you. And God, we just settle and we just say, God, come, speak to us, have your way. Amen. Hey, last Sunday, we talked about a scripture from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It's on the art here, but it is this. It says, for we are God's masterpieces. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And last week, we learned that you are God's masterpiece. And this truth combats the lie that many of us have bought in on, that you're not a masterpiece, but that you're a mess. And that's really what the world seems to shout in our ears all the time. You need to get fixed. There's something wrong with you. There's something broken about you. You're a mess. You're a disaster. Go ahead and try to figure it out. And that's kind of what the world kind of shoves at us. But what the truth of God's word presents to us is that you're not a mess. You're actually a masterpiece. And I had the opportunity after the service to talk to lots of people, and I had someone come up to me, and they looked at me right in the eyes, and they said, Matt, do you believe it? And I was like, do I believe what? You know, the resurrection? Yes. You know, do you believe it? And they said, do you believe that God sees me as a masterpiece? And I said, yeah, beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I just can't think of anything you have done or could do that would make God look at you in any other way. Because you are his child made in his image. And sure, do you have some rough edges? Yeah, we all do. But God is a good, good father, and he looks kind of past some of the obstacles to loving us because he loves us with such great love that moves past all those broken areas of our lives. And so however you crawled into church today, whatever the status is of your heart, you are a masterpiece, and that's good news. One of the biggest joys of being a father is looking at your child's artwork. Okay, parents, grandparents, you maybe have a niece or nephew that's brought to you, presented their artwork in front of you. You probably maybe have done what I've done. You tried to guess what it was, right? And you said, oh, that's a beautiful, I mean, it could be anything, right? So my daughter would do art and she'll just say, Daddy, look. And I've learned to not make any assumptions or guesses with what exactly that is. Because the one time you guess wrong and you see that look in your child's eye, you're like, I'm never going there again. And instead, because your child, you know, they present something and boy, it could be a building, it could be a dog, it could be a dolphin, it could be a tree. You know, you just look at this art and you're like, that's something. And you learn to give it very generic kind of answers. Like I would say things like this. I would just say, look at that. or like, look what you did. You know, it's all about the tone of voice. Tone of voice could change and it could be very damaging. She'd show me something, I'd say, you really did something there. You really did it. You did, you used all the crayons, didn't you? You made something, didn't you? But kids and adults alike, we're creative people. Inside of each of us is this creative DNA, and it comes straight from our Father, from God himself, because God, in his creativity, kind of made it all, right? He made you. I mean, look at the person next to you. I mean, yeah, he's responsible for that. He made everything around us to enjoy. God is infinitely creative, and as his created beings, I think inside of each of us is this like creative DNA where we like to create, and we like to make new things, and we like to dream and have great ideas, just because that is kind of like our God. That's what he is like. Thus, that's kind of like how we behave and how we function. That's why we like to write new songs or do new art or whatever it is, whatever your creative outlet is, it's something that God has given you. Well, later in the sermon today, we are all going to have a chance to express some of our creativity, okay? Are you afraid? Carlos is like, you're doing a dramatic dance, right? Yeah. Did you get my email? I emailed you. I said, you're going to do a spirit dance through the room. So you didn't get the email, did you? Oh, well, just do it anyways. Just go with the flow. We're all going to have a chance to explore some of your own creativity before the end of the day. So that should be exciting. We're going to look at a passage in Isaiah. If you want to turn in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 64, if you want to get there in the Bible. But the prophet Isaiah, he wrote concerning the challenges of God's people, the Israelites. And the prophet comes and he comes to address this whole big people group. And he addresses them often and frequently, trying to correct some of their behavior. You see, the Israelites were God's chosen people. And that God would reveal his character through this whole people group. So that sounds a little bit confusing. Let me try to make it a little bit simpler, but think of it like this. Israel was the canvas that God used to paint a picture of his character to the rest of humanity with. Does that make sense? It's kind of hard to understand, but Israel was like a canvas that God used to paint his character to the rest of all of humanity. God's chosen people, they had purpose and they had significance and they had something special about them to God. I mean, that was the people that he was using to communicate who he really was to everybody. But like us, Israel and the people seem to rebel and turn away from God often and frequently. I mean, does that sound a little bit about like your story too? I mean, God has a perfect purpose and plan for your life, but you run away from it sometimes. And I think we all kind of do that. So when I think of God's word through the prophet Isaiah to Israel, I think it sounds a lot like something God would want to say to all of us today as we try to reflect his goodness to the rest of the world. So it sounds like a lot of us. But the prophet Isaiah, he painstakingly urges the people to turn back to God. And we all have a way of turning away from God in our behaviors and our attitudes. And sometimes you just shift one degree away from your relationship with the Lord. And after time, it develops this huge chasm between where you and God were. And I think if we're honest, we're always kind of course correcting a little bit, trying to hear God's voice again and listen to where he is and follow him, right? I think I'm always trying to be attentive to what God's saying because I want to be in step with him. I don't want to be ahead of him. I don't want to be lagging behind. I want to be in step with him. And I think God sees that in Israel, that they have seasons of closeness and seasons of distance in the relationship with God. And the prophet comes to speak to them and to clarify something really important. And he says this in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hands. Let me read that to you again. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. I think that Isaiah recognized a very big problem. God's people had refused to let God shape them, form them, and mold them. And they've chased after other things to shape them and form them and mold them. And I think what the prophet was trying to say is that God is the Father, God's the potter, and you're the clay. It's not any other way around. No one else is the potter but God, and you are clay. You're not the potter. In other words, you're not God. You're not in control. He's in control. And we need to submit our lives to his authority, and we need to have a little course correction and get back on track. You see, the people, the Israelites, they had pushed God away and they had looked to other things to shape them and give them purpose and identity. They chased after the gods of their neighbors, they chased after the gods of the people around them, and they neglected to honor their one true God. Just so you don't think I'm making this up, go to Deuteronomy chapter 29. It says this about the Israelites. It says, they went off and worshiped other gods and bowed down to them, gods they did not know, gods he had not given them. We, like the Israelites, we, like God's chosen people, just tend to turn away from our God and follow other gods, lowercase g. We trade in pursuing our God, the God of the Bible, for the other idols in our lives that seek to try to mold us and shape us and give us identity and purpose. Now, I don't know if you agree with that statement at all, but I know it's true for many of us, that we look for other things to shape us and form us other than God himself. So we could think of a list. There's lots of things that come into your life that you have added to your life to try to give your life purpose and identity, to make you happy. Whether it's a new car or a new relationship, whether it's a new job, a new position, a new title, we look to these things to give us purpose and identity. And when we do that, we move our clay, the clay of our lives, from God's hands into something else. And we seek to have that thing shape us and mold us. And you know how exhausting it is, because it was about the time you think you've arrived, everything changes. It's a pointless and an endless pursuit to have anything created here on earth give you purpose. Rather, you and I should look to our Creator and find our purpose from Him and Him alone. You see, they shifted their worship from worshiping their Creator to worshiping creation and created things. And we might be thousands of years removed from this text, but I think that truth still happens. It's still very obvious to us today. The same temptation is around us too. You are the clay and He is the potter. You aren't the potter, you're the clay. No one else is the potter but God alone. God is the potter. You see, your divine, God-given purpose, it's distorted and it's blemished when you seek to be formed by anything or anyone else. There's nothing that you could add to your life here on earth that would give you identity and purpose. It would only distort God's purpose for your life. When you move your life from God's hands into anything else, destruction always seems to follow. And herein lies our greatest source of discouragement and pain, is when we war against God and try to manage our own lives. You want to pick a fight with me? Go ahead. You want to pick a fight with God? You're going to lose. And you will be eventually confronted with the truth of who He is. And I say, get confronted with the truth of who God is earlier than later, right? When we war against God and we try to manage our own lives, when we remove our lives from God's authority and we seek to be formed by somebody else or something else, it just ends up making you pretty miserable. When I was a youth pastor, some of my youth group students and I, we wrote a song called Mask, M-A-S-K, Mask. And the idea was that we put on these masks all the time to try to fit in. And it can be exhausting. I mean, as a teenager, remember when you were a teenager, how badly you wanted to fit in with every crowd. And it can be exhausting to try to put on a mask and you forget who you are in every setting. And that's because you're trying to find your identity and your purpose in these relationships, and they'll never satisfy, like finding your identity and your purpose in God alone. You and I are the clay. He is the potter. He is the one that shapes us. We don't shape ourselves. We don't look to anything else to give us purpose and identity. We look to the potter. We look to the Father. We look to God. We don't look at anything else to give us purpose and identity, but we simply should look at Him. And we should make sure that you and I, as the clay in this scenario, that we are firmly in God's hands, able and willing to be transformed and changed as He sees fit. And not fight against Him, like we all do sometimes. You ever felt like God spoke to you to do something or something and you fought it? Yeah, isn't that really fun? Isn't it miserable, like playing a tug of war against God? When you felt like God was nudging you to, I don't know what it was for you, maybe it was to be more generous with your finances. Maybe God was pulling you to stop that one behavior, or you fill in the blank, or whatever it was, and you dug your heels in the ground and you refused. Isn't that a fun way to live? Just constantly warring against your Creator? No, it's a miserable way to go about life. I found from my own life that there's so much greater joy when I just surrender and I just say, God, I don't know why you do what you do, but I choose to go on this journey with you because I think every step of the way you're shaping me. You see, I've talked to a lot of people in church life and people's lives that are on mountaintop experiences, like everything is going fantastic. And I ask them a question, what is God teaching you right now? Well, I tell you what, that's exactly the same question I ask to someone who's losing everything in that moment. What is God teaching you right now? Because I don't ever want to get away from the fact that God is always trying to mold me and shape me through the highs of life and the lows of life, that there's something that God wants to teach you and you're just supposed to learn. And I tell you what, if you don't learn it, you're going to keep there for a while. Until you learn, until you allow the Spirit of God to shape in you something that is really important, that only during that season He can shape in you. It doesn't help you at all to say, yeah, life is miserable. The season will end. Get over it. You know, just put your head down. It'll be all right. That doesn't help anybody. But I say to that person, I say, you know what? I feel like the Lord is teaching you. Would you like to talk about what you think? What is God doing in you right this second? Because I think through the challenges and the successes and the failures of life, God is teaching you if you're going to be listening and if you're going to be aware. Are you ready for vintage faith, arts, and craft time?
Yeah.
Super excited? Okay. Well, you're going to get a piece of clay. And so I want you to grab a piece of clay. I'll bring some back there. Grab the color you want and unwrap it. You are the potters. Grab a piece of clay, pass it around, grab the color you want. I think I have enough. Pass those back. Go ahead and unwrap your clay. Don't eat it. If you've been looking for a good time to open up a mint that you have in your pocket, now's a good time. There's already all the wrappers going. Go ahead, feel free. The clay is making its way back. Everyone get a clay? Who here thought they'd come to church and do a little arts and craft? Anybody? You surprise, surprise. Arts and craft time? All right, so have your clay. Go ahead and get your clay out, kind of roll it up in a ball or something, and I have some directions for you. They're very important directions. You're going to have to be pretty quick about this because I have other things I want to say, but I want to drive home the imagery of what it looks like for the potter and the clay. So for a minute, you're the potter and your clay is going to be clay, okay? Hi, clay, speaking of. Clay has clay. Wow. That's profound. I'm glad that hit me. So here are the directions. I want you to take your lump of clay and I want you to form something awesome. Go. Come on, you're super creative. Form something awesome. How's it going? I see something that's like a snake. There you go. Isn't that something? Yeah. All right. Jeremy, you should be good at this. Clay, I mean, you should be fantastic at this. I mean, it was named after you. Oh, that looks like a flower. I saw that. That beautiful. John, that is perfect. Whatever that is, that's great. Good job. I love it. So there's a whole lot of time. You can keep working up. Can you hold up your creation for a second? You hold it up. Isn't that something? Look what you did there. Look at you. You used all of it. How about that? Great. That was beautiful. I know you're going to be tempted to keep playing with your clay, but can you just hold it in your hand for a second? I know. No, you don't have to do it. You can keep it. Yeah, it's going to be yours. I don't want it. I want to share with you two important things that happened when you formed your amazing, awesome creation. And I want to talk to you about how those two principles relate to how God shapes us and forms us, okay? You've heard a three-point sermon. Well, this is a two-pointer, okay? Number one, what you formed has purpose. And what I mean by that is your creation is the result of your intentions. You dreamt up what you created. Like you thought it in your mind, you thought, oh, I'm going to make a bowl. I'm going to make a heart. She just destroyed hers. I'm going to make a heart. I'll make a pretzel. Someone's hungry. But in your mind, right? If you probably think about that. In your mind, you thought, I'm going to make a something. You created, you thought about it. But here's the thing though, that is different, that you and I, when we create things, we can only create limited on what we've seen and experienced. You can't create anything that you haven't seen already with your eyes or felt with your own hands. You can't create anything brand new that the world has never ever imagined before because you are limited in your creative nature. God is limitless in his creativity. As creative as you and I are, we're limited and we can only create what we've seen, but God is different. When we create, we have limits, but when God creates, he creates without limit. He is outside of creation. And the theological term is this, is that God is a transcendent creator. God creates and dreams up what he has made out of thin air, out of nothing. There's nothing that limits his creative abilities, but where you and I do have these limits. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7 says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." You see, when God made you, he created you for his glory. That's what he was thinking when he took clay in hand. I'm going to use yours since you've destroyed it. When God put you in his hand and he said, "I'm going to make Herman." He said, "I'm going to make something here that gives me glory." That was his purpose and his intention. And then he started to push and bend and make and manipulate and put things where they're supposed to be. He created you so that you would give God glory. That's your number one purpose, is to give God glory. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 says, "Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes." That's what God thought before the creation of the world. He thought, "I'm going to make you, I'm going to choose you, and you're going to be holy, perfect, and without fault in his eyes. David says this in Psalm 139, "For you formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb." So God made you with a purpose. He dreamt up you in all your beauty, and he formed you. And that is why you're unique. Maybe before you've thought that you're unique and different from everyone else, and that's a mistake, or there's something wrong with you. But I think the truth is that God formed you with intentionality. I mean, God doesn't make any junk. He makes you just the way you are for a purpose. So the things that maybe you've thought were your biggest weaknesses and faults are actually the things that God, I think, really put in you to make you uniquely you, to make you special. I remember when I was just a teenager, I must have been freshman or something, but a student at school had gotten picked on at school, and I observed this child, and it was a special needs student at our school, and he was getting picked on by everybody, and I sat by and did nothing. And I came home later that day, and I ran into my mom and dad's room, and I jumped on my parents' bed, and I buried my head into my mom's pillow, and I wept. I just wept. I still remember the tear stains on the pillow from where I bawled. And this is what I thought. I thought, my sensitivity is my greatest weakness. I got to find a way to get over this. I remember telling myself, "Kladnik, man up. Kladnik, man up. Quit being such a baby about stuff. Quit crying all the time." I tried to convince myself. I tried to talk myself out of it. I thought God made a big mistake when he made me, because he made me too stinking sensitive. But God has a way of redeeming the things in our lives that we think are broken and giving them purpose. It wasn't until longer and later in life when I became a Christian that I thought, you know what? That sensitivity that I thought was my greatest weakness, I think God is actually redeeming. It's going to be my biggest strength. And you only know that, you only can have that epiphany when you start to see your life in Christ. That God made you and formed you, that he knows you. Now the second thing I want to talk about here, look at that, we're already almost done. Oh man, we're going to get done church early. I can keep talking, it's cool. So the first one is that God made you with a purpose in mind. Every single one of you, Doug, Connie, Michael, Jake, he made you, he desperately needed you on this planet for a reason. And he needed you to function in your God-given identity. So the second thing here is, what you formed took pressure. Now, here's this. You didn't just think, "I'm going to make a rose or an elephant or a cup," and just hold the clay in your hand and just wish it into being, right? I don't know if you have that kind of supernatural powers, but I don't think any of you just dreamt up what your clay would be and just didn't touch it. No, it took pressure, right? It took pushing, it took manipulating, it took some force to form the clay into what you wanted it to be formed into. You had to push it, you had to put pressure on it. And I think this is the same thing that God does for us, that God pushes on us. And you have two responses to God pushing in your life. You can run the other way, or you can say, "I trust your pushing, that you're forming in me something special." And I've responded to both in different ways, right? I've felt God nudging or leaning into me, trying to shape something in me, trying to push in my life. And I've said, "I'm not interested. and I've retreated from relationship with God. But there have also been some seasons where I felt God pushing in areas of my life, and I said, you know what? I'm gonna put up with it. I'm gonna see this through because I believe that God has good things for me, and he wouldn't be pushing and prying into my life if it wasn't for a purpose. So you had to push right on your clay. It didn't just boom, happen, right? It took pressure. In order for God's best to be formed in us, we must endure a little bit of pressure. When I gave my life to Jesus, I felt a brand new feeling that I hadn't felt before having a relationship with God. It is this feeling called conviction. And I remember becoming a Christian and going home and trying to live my life like I always had. I remember trying, well, this will date me, but I think I got into my car and I tried to listen to my Dr. Dre CD, the Chronic album. I remember putting it on and being like, something sounded differently then than it did an hour beforehand. I just couldn't put my finger on it. And then the words I used to say, all of a sudden I thought that those aren't words I want to be using, or some of the behaviors that I did, all of a sudden I said, you know what? I don't feel right doing these things anymore. I had lived a good 20-some years without any conviction in my life. I was numb to anything the Lord wanted to say or do in me. But all of a sudden, when I said, Jesus, come into my life, all of a sudden, this new feeling arose that I wasn't really that fond of, called conviction. And it was really this, that God had something better for me than what I had been settling for a long time. And this conviction was like God's poking and prodding in my life for my benefit. And it took me 6 months to kind of get my head around it. I'm pretty sure during those 6 months, I threw away all my CDs. I can give you a list of all of them. There's some classics in there. But in that 6 months, I'm pretty sure I threw away all my CDs because I thought that was the answer. I'm just going to get rid of every sinful thing in my life. And then I think I bought them all back because I missed them because I wasn't dealing with the root of my issue. I was just dealing with the external things. I thought, well, if I just don't have my Snoop Dogg Doggy Style album anymore, then I will just be fine. And then I thought if I just rid of my life and threw it away, I'd be fine. But then I just bought it again anyways. And I really should have given that money to church, but I didn't. But I bought another Snoop Dogg CD. It takes pressure, right? If you are going to allow God to form in you his character, then there are some rough edges that are going to have to get worked on. There's some abrasive parts of you that don't belong because he is forming you into his image. And you've been forming yourself into another image, and that thing needs to be corrected so you can be his image. And so when we feel that tension in our lives of who we want to be and who we know that God has called us to be, that is his conviction coming. And I tell you what, and I've said this so many times, it's going to be just redundant to you, but where the Spirit of God brings an awareness of sin and shame and brokenness, he's also power enough to help you get healed too. So I don't live in shame and guilt anymore. I say, thank you for the power of God that has revealed something that's broken in my life, and you're not just gonna leave me broken. You wanna see me transformed into your image. So I'm gonna put in the hard work. I'm gonna allow you to shape in me these things. John 16, verse 8 says this, when he comes, the Spirit of God, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. When he comes, you see, it's God's job to convict the world of sin. I don't think any of us need to go around and tell your neighbors that they're sinners. Go ahead, you're gonna need to move if you do that. I don't think we need to run around telling people that they're far from God. I think a lot of people already know it. But rather, we say, and we pray, and we say, Spirit of God, you do that part. I'm gonna love, I'm gonna be available to answer questions, but God, you bring conviction. I don't know if you've ever tried to make somebody do something. That didn't work out very well, but maybe you've tried to partner with them to get someplace. You know, there's two strategies. You can drag someone along or you can walk with them. And I just think, when I think about the Jesus way, I think Jesus wants to walk with us. He invites us to health and he walks with us to get there. Well, when God puts some pressure in your life, you can rebel or you can embrace it. And one of the reasons that God brings pressure into our lives is it's for this reason, to remove some impurities in us. Now, rewind in your mind all the way to middle school or high school art class. You see the room already, you smell the paint and the clay, you see the potter's wheels in the corner and the tables and all the art supplies. I remember when I was in art school, I wanted to make a vase, and there was a beautiful vase that is our model. Well, my vase turned out to look more like a dog dish, but that's what I made. I think everyone made dog dishes that year. It was super popular. I tried to use that potter's wheel. Does anybody remember that? You remember it and getting all muddy, you know? And you tried your hardest. You dreamt of this beautiful creation, and what you got was just a dog dish. Well, on the potter's wheel, you're pushing and you're trying to form this thing to what you want it to be. But my dog dish was horrendous, and it was really thick. I hadn't worked out all the kinks, and I put it into the kiln, right? Did I say that right, kiln? I put it into the fire. And I put my dog dish in the fire right on the middle tray, and everyone else put their clay creations all around mine. And it went into the oven to get burned, to get purified, to get solidified. And this is what happened with my beautiful dog dish. Because I didn't remove the impurities, there were air bubbles in my clay pot. What happened to my dog dish? It didn't just crack, it shattered. And when my dog dish shattered, it sent particles throughout the entire oven and damaged everyone else's pottery too. Was not a popular guy. But can I tell you, this is a really good picture of what your life is gonna look like if you don't allow God to remove the impurities in your life. It's gonna lead to brokenness in you, and it's gonna lead into you hurting other people too. That'll preach. Right? If you don't allow God to do the hard work to form, to push out the impurities that are already inside of you, then when the temperature raises, and it certainly will, you're gonna get broken. And not only are you gonna get broken, but there's a good chance that you're gonna end up hurting the people that you're closest to. That's why it's so important that we allow God to do the deep work in our hearts that he needs to do. It's not just for your benefit, it's also for the benefit of the people around you. But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are the potter. We are the work of your hand. And in closing, when pastors say that, they mean you got 20 more minutes. In closing, we're all clay. But I want to ask you this question. Whose hands are you in? I mean, are you in God's hands, or are you looking to other things to shape you and form you? I mean, it's a good question to ask all of us, right? Am I looking for my purpose and my identity and other things to be shaped and molded by those things? Or am I intentionally, hear my words, am I intentionally laying and submitting my life, yielding my life to King Jesus, that he would shape me and that he would form me? Because one pathway leads to destruction and one pathway leads to health and wholeness. Is your spouse forming you? Your boyfriend, your girlfriend, are they shaping you? Are your fears shaping you? Your insecurities, your addiction? Are the things that this world offer us as alternatives, are they shaping you? Is peer pressure shaping you? And if so, then you're simply in the wrong hands. It's one thing I know about God, and that he is a good, good father. And the scripture teaches us also that he's a good physician. He's a great physician. And because God is a great physician, he doesn't cut and pry into our lives just haphazardly. God isn't running around with two razor blades just seeing who he can wound, right? But he cuts with intentionality, with directness, with a purpose in mind. So when we feel that God is coming and he's cutting something out of our lives, he doesn't do so for the joy of the pain that it causes, but he does so because he sees that this is for your benefit. So whose hands are you in? Are you allowing God to form you and shape you? Or are you being shaped by everything else and everyone else? I wish I was sitting right here for this sermon, because I'm convicted too. I think I've tried to find my purpose and identity in a new degree, a new title, a new position, a new season of life, a new group of friends. And I found all those things to be really helpless and hopeless. But when I intentionally submit my life to God and say, God, I'm the clay, you're the potter, Form me, shape me, make me anew. I want to live that life. Who today would say, I'm with you, Matt. I need to be a little bit more intentional about letting God shape me. Is anybody else? I'm there. I need to be a little bit more intentional about allowing the Spirit of God to shape me. Can I pray for all you? God, we just thank you for your Spirit, and God, for even the correction that we feel right now. God, would we willfully step into a season of being transformed by you, that we would lay aside the things that have given us purpose and identity for too long, and we would just submit our lives to your leadership, God, because we are the clay and you're the potter. We've compromised and we've tried to make other things make our lives make sense and give us identity and purpose. But God, we choose today to submit to you, and we choose to transition our lives from those things and yield our lives to you, God. God, that you would be our great father, our good father, and that you would mold us and shape us as you see fit. So God, we quit fighting against your prod, and we quit fighting against the pressure you bring in our life, because we know it's for our good and for the good of those around us. And we ask, God, that you would bring conviction into our hearts and into our minds of attitudes that have distanced ourselves from you. And God, as powerful as you are to reveal that error, you're also powerful enough to help us move into a new healthy season of life, an abundant life. So God, we say yes to your every pressure, your every move in our lives, and we submit to you. Amen. 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 Hey, church, as we get going out of here, I want two little announcements. Next week, Mary, are you preaching next week? Woo! Mary's preaching next week. That's going to be exciting, so make sure you're here for that. And I'm working on a new series. I'm taking a couple more weeks off to help with the baby. And then I'm going to do a new series starting after Mother's Day, after Tyra preaches on Mother's Day, the next Sunday. We're going to do 3 weeks on the Holy Spirit. And so I want you to be thinking about some questions you would have about the Holy Spirit, and then get them to me. So we'll be passing out some flyers. And so you can ask, what are your questions about the Holy Spirit? We're going to answer them in that new series before we enter into the summer. So, all right, be the church. We'll see you next Sunday.